Okay, so last week we started Smicha. Before that, we had spent a little bit of time, one or two shirim, defining Bailos in Kachim, noting that according to the many of the Acharnim, the Griz chief among them, Bailos in Kachim does not mean monetary ownership, it means the mitkaper. Then we moved to that and said, okay, but now what is the role, what is the continuing role of the Bailim in Kachim, and we examined a few different areas of halacha where it is manifest. How do you understand Kohanim Shluchei D'Rachmana, Kohanim Shluchei D'Idan, Shechita issues, and one of them that we discussed was Smicha. So what we developed last week is that Smicha, in its simplest understanding, is a very intense way in which we want the Bailim to invest himself in the carbon, right? How do I know that? Because of a few halacha that we discussed. One is that that which is outlined in the Mishnah on the Gemara in Menachot, which is that the only types of karbanos that have smicha are A, karbanos yachid, karbanos tibur don't normally have. Why? Right? Conceptually, why? Because they don't have an individual bailim, right? There's no individual bailim. The exception is parabola kala mitzvos, but the reason that that seems to be true...
Isn't the one where Sanhedrin does it?
What?
Isn't the one where someone in Sanhedrin does it?
Correct. But that also seems to be, and I gave you just the summary in the Rambam number 4, the parabola davashol tzibur, right? The carbon that is brought by Beis Din, when they make a mistake in Psach and half of Klal Yisrael follows them, unlike regular carbon tzibur, which, where does the money come from?
The
Trumas HaLishka, from the normal tax to the Beis HaMikdash, which implies that, and this is the Chakira that we introduce again, maybe someday it's worth actually proving this point, right? Though at this point I feel like I've gone through it. This is one of the central things that keeps coming up in Kachim, which is that there's a fundamental Chakira in how you define Tzibur in general in Kol HaTorah Kula and definitely in Kachim, which is... Is a tzibur a corporate entity, or is it a sum of its parts, right? It's just a lot of people. The simplest understanding is that under most circumstances, a tzibur is a corporate entity. And therefore, that's why a normal carbon tzibur, where the money is contributed into the Trumas HaLishka, and then is taken from the coffers of the Beis HaMikdash, right? It's essentially a tax. Right? So that has no smicha, there's no bailim. Don't we've only recapped, Ariel. But as opposed to Parallel Devershal Tzibur, where there's a special collection, which implies that they're reviewing the Tzibur not as a corporate entity, but as a collection of people, which makes sense, therefore, that you should have at least a representative, Smicha. Good. That was one thing. The second exception that is outlined in the Gemara is Bechor Meiser and Pesach. And we noted the reason that Bechor Meiser and Pesach seem to not need Smicha, as Rashi says, is because they're not Ritzui, they're not Doron, they're not Lekapara, right? The reason a regular Karban needs Smicha is because, and again, we described this a bit philosophically, was that, right, if we take the Ramban's philosophical position, which maybe helps the Lum just become clearer, right, the Ramban says that Karbanot are meant to be, right, what are you supposed to be thinking about? That should be me on the Karban, right? And therefore, it makes sense that a carbon like that, which is actually kapara, I have to invest myself in it. The way I do that is smicha, as the Rambam outlines. Smicha is what I do. I hold on to the animal while saying, zeh kaparasi, zeh, right? Or divrei shevach, if it's a shlomim. But again, a Pesach is not like that. A Bechor is not like that. It's not like that at all. And then we noted that there is an in-between state between that, which is like an asham, right? Where an asham, we've noted... Right, is somewhere in between, or an ola is somewhere in between, where it is for the person, but not really in specific, it's more generic. And therefore, Ravara notes that the drashot actually seem to point to this notion that an asham is for the person, and therefore requires the person to put his hands on, but it's not in the same intense way that like a chatas is. Where do you see that in the psukim? Because the way we paskin is that you have to have smicha on an asham, but it's learned from a drasha, not from the pshat in the pasuk. Right, which seems to indicate that it has a middle status, right? Like it sort of is affiliated with the person, but not in the intense way that like achatos is, and therefore it's true that you do smicha, but it doesn't, so to speak, warrant a pasuk, right? Which seems to be a hint at this middle state. That's what we did last week. You want to just pass me the milk? Because this tea is disgusting, but if I'm going to drink it.
It's the black tea.
Yeah, because that's what there is. Because like I only have so much of my own tea here. And when I'm here all day, I need much to just drink. I don't really care what it is. Oh, come on. Okay. Okay, and Ravaran just notes that, again, why would Asham be part of this middle category? Again, I won't read it inside because at this point, again, one of those things you'll see in Kachem is that things come up over and over. Why does Asham have a middle category? Because we've talked about it. It's sort of somewhere between Achatas, right? It's not on a specific sin, but it's... Correct, and that was the beginning. But it is because you are a sinner, or a suffix sinner, right? It protects you, but it doesn't... It protects you in case you did something... Right, we saw that is the machlokas right in the first Mishnah in Zvachim Menachos, right, which is, doesn't Asham have the same halachos as Chatas in terms of Lishma and the like, right? That is the machlokas in it. And then if you just want to summarize it, and then we can move on. So look at the end of source 8, that at the end you get three categories. Right, there's the main category, those that are brought for kapara, for ritzu, right, are really, really brought for the person. Be'ele yishmicha. And the point, this is the same as last week. Yeah. Yeah, you have it? Or you can or share with whatever. Or you can make a copy of it or whatever. Is, right, so there's the category one, which are the things where you really need a personal request of God, a turn to God before you bring it. Then they're the ones that really have nothing to do with your connection to God at all. They're just obligations you bring, like Bechor. And that is no smicha. And then there's Kutsa Shlishit, Olat Chova V'Asham, which is an Olat Chova, right? Which, right, an Olat, a personal Ola, right? Not like an Olat Regel, right? Is actually a personal turn to God. But Olat Chova is not. Right, but it is an ola in the end of the day, and that's the and an ashram. These are in the middle, which have smicha, but they have no pasuk. Okay, fine. All of this is one possibility. of what smicha is. What did I put there? Okay. Anyways, now let's see a few sources. Some of them will support this, but we will see that a second possibility as to what smicha accomplishes will emerge. So if you go to number 9, this is the Mishnah Menachos, the 9th Perek. Chomer b'smicha mi b'tnufa, u'b'tnufa mi b'smicha. She'echad meinef l'kol ha'chaveirim, echad somech l'kol ha'chaveirim. Right, there is a tnufa is the waving. Right, the waving. There is a chomer of smicha over tnufa, which is that smicha... Tenufa can be done by one person for everybody. Smicha can't be, right? Which again seems to point in this direction. That tenufa is
by one person for everybody.
I mean, if you have multiple people involved in a karban, right? So, yeah, right. That's what it sounds like, right? Now tenufa is not that way. Why? Because again, the simplest pshat is tenufa is just seder hakarban. So seder hakarban, one person does it for everybody. But smicha, and again, there's something we saw by shechita, right? Shechita, the more we want the bialim involved, the less we're going to understand that as normal shlichos, right? So here, you're not really going to want a shliach with smicha if smicha is about creating a personal, right, investment in the karban.
It follows also from this theory that precepts are perfectly useless since the people to whom any law is given are unable to...
Now, one of the interesting things, however, is that... The problem is that one of the interesting things about smicha that you have to realize is that smicha, again, this is machlokes, but the Mishnah presents the position of Menachos, just because we say that smicha is the bialim investing himself in the karban, right, this is one directional, meaning you can have a karban without that investment, right? You can't have someone else do it, right? But that doesn't mean that every type of bialim needs it, meaning a karban can survive without it, Right? It's not like knufa. It's not part of the Maisa Akrafa. Right? It's a way that we affiliate with the carbon, but not every type of bialim requires that level of intensity in terms of their connection. Hence, you have this whole list of people who don't need it, and the Gemara calls it shiyare mitzvah. Right? There's a Mishnah called it shiyare mitzvah. What's shiyare mitzvah? Right? This point to this middle direction. It is a mitzvah, but it's a leftover of a mitzvah. Meaning, there's clearly a value in smicha, right? But it's not the ikra mitzvah.
Why don't they have smicha?
So that's part of the long discussion there in Menachot, right? Well, chere shoten katan, sure, not sumanachri, right? Eved shliach, right? And nachri is allowed to bring karbana, but no smicha because it doesn't require that intensity. Isha, again.
Smicha has to be done in the karbana.
Okay, so we can come up with it. Isha. But an Isha can be there.
Okay,
and Nachrik, again, each of them gets the, right? What?
Each has their own reason.
Yeah. Okay. But at the end of this Mishnah, you get a hint that Smicha may be more than just this. Meaning, the fact that Smicha is at some level a connection to the Bialim, it seems clear, though the Mishnah introduces the possibility that not every Karban needs that intense level of connection. But
a korban like this, Torah and smicha, if you don't have smicha, is it possible?
I don't believe so. Check. I don't think so.
Because it's
not. Okay, shiari mitzvah, right?
Right. Well, it's not full mitzvah.
Right. The Gemara has this discussion of shiari mitzvah. Akvan, so I have to look back and remember exactly what the conclusion is there. The Mishnah at the end, though, notes that one of the things you need to do about smicha is right before shchita. Take it for smicha shchita.
Okay.
Right. And it's immediately prior to the Shechita. There are these halachot that start to point at the notion that maybe there's more to it than just being a Bialim. But we're going to see a few halachot that are going to suggest that maybe, right? Maybe at some level smicha is also part of the process. Specifically, perhaps it is the Sof Hakdasha, right? That it is in some way the Makav Patish on the Hakdasha of the animal. And in that sense, it is part of the process of Avoda. It is part of the process of Avoda and not merely a connection of the Bialim. So let's look at a few halachot that point in this direction. So one is this notion of Tekel Smicha Shechita. So the Gemara says, "Uvomakom shesomchen shochten." You shecht in the place where you do smicha. Tekel Smicha Shechita. Maikamar hachigamar, but makom shesomchen shochten. You have to do smicha in the place where there is shechita. Should Tekel Smicha Shechita because it must be immediate, right? Meaning, if it was just the Bialim have to be affiliated with the karban. Right? You could explain it. You could say, okay, it should be at the last possible moment. Right? So, what is the Gemara saying? Gemara is saying, what do you mean in the place? Does it mean place? It doesn't mean place. It says, you have to do it in the same place so that it can be immediate. Right? Meaning, ad kedei kach, it has to be mamish. Right? Immediate. Look at the phrasing of the Gemara in Megillah. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah in Megillah is discussing the times at which you're allowed to do certain activities. And it says, Kol Yom Kasher, L'smicha L'shchita. Right, all day, right, Yom, right, as opposed to Laila, is Mutter for Shchita and for Smicha. Again, here, you could just say that it's technical, right, but it also points at the notion that there's a certain parallelism between Shechita and Smicha. And you look at the Gemara seems to say this even stronger. It's a hekesh. Right? There's a hekesh. V'samach v'shachat. And if v'shachat has to be done by Yom, v'samach has to be done by Yom. Right? Now remember, we've seen this earlier in the year. There are things that are done in the Beis HaMikdash that are part of Seder Karbanos, that because they're not mamish the karban, they're done at night, like Trumas Hadeshen, Hector Chalav Meivarim. Trumas Hadeshen prepares the next day. You clear out the old, bring in the new. And that's sort of a Hechsher Avodas Yom. Remember, it has that middle status of Avoda, Right? The Gemara is not willing to accept an argument like that for smicha. Right? Again, that doesn't prove anything, but it starts to point in a direction that maybe there's an element of quasi-avoda, so that this is part of the process itself. Don't worry, I'm going to prove this. Right? There's going to be a Gemara that's quite suggestive, but so far just a few things that point in that direction. Number 13 is a Gemara in Tzvachim, and both Kuf Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Tet, Kuf Yud Tet, just cut it, the relevant lines. Ma bein b'mas yachid l'b'mas tzibor. So one of these weird Gemaras, this is a long discussion in Tzvachim, it's not clear why anybody cares, right, is what is the difference between b'mas yachid and b'mas tzibor, even though b'mas yachid doesn't exist, right? Meaning Gemara devotes many, many, many dapim to b'mas yachid. Okay, what's a b'ma?
Outside the base of Mikdash.
Right, it's a altar outside the base of Mikdash. A Bamas Sibur is a communal one. A Bamas Yachid is an individual one. But the halacha is, as the Gemara outlines, or as the Mishnah has outlined, that on Bisman, the Mishkan, you couldn't have Bamos, right? You could have Bamos between, but not during. But between you could have. But right between Mishkanot, you could have it. Right? I mean, while it wasn't a Mishkan, you could have it. Right? And the time of the Beis HaMikdash, once there's a Beis HaMikdash, though, forever, you can never have it. So why the Gemara devotes as much space as it does to Bamos, when now we've already had a Beis HaMikdash, which means that we forbid Bamos forever, right? It's a bit of an odd discussion. We have this obsession with it. Now, it happens to be that we know that one of the least kept halachot in all of Jewish history was the Isser Bamot. Right? How do I know that?
It's open and show.
Because I've read Malachim. Right, because I've read Malachim, right? Because in Malachim, you have... Okay, to learn, right? Meaning in Malachim, you have four types of kings. You have good kings. You have good kings. Who's a good king?
Yosef.
So, no, he's category two. Who's the best kings? There's only David, Shlomo before he sins, Chizkiyahu, and Yoshiyahu. That's about it. Right? Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu. Right, that's the best kings. Then you have the worst kings, right? Then you have the worst kings. Who are the worst kings? Well, what do they do? Menashe, not just Avodah Zarah. They introduce new Avodah Zarah, right? That's category four. That's one and four. Then in the middle you have people who didn't introduce what? Achav, right? There are people on that list, right? Menashe, Achav. Right, there are others. But Yeravam, right? Yeah, well, no, Yeravam's middle. Well, we'll get to that. Right? Fine.
And then,
then there's category three, which are people who don't introduce new Avodah Zarahs, but they keep the Agalim of Yeravam, whether they're Avodah Zarah or not is not totally clear, but they keep the Agalim of Yeravam. Right, that's level three. And then there's level two, which are mostly Tzadikim, right, meaning I'm not going in order here, right? There's one, two, three, four, from Tzadik to Rasha. Right, level one, okay. There's Tzadikim, that's David, Chizkiyo, Yoshio, Shlomo, Forsen. Worst Rishayim, all the way to the bottom. Then there's, right, the people who are pretty bad. They don't introduce, like, new Avodah Zarah, but they leave the Agalim. But then, there's many, many decent kings who, what do? They get rid of Avodah Zarah, but they don't rock Lohi, Sirat HaBamot. But they don't get rid of the Bamot, right? So there are a lot of these people like Asa, right? Pretty good kings, right? Right?
No.
Yeah, there are a lot of these people. They remove Avodah Zarah, Ra Kabamot Lo Saru, right? But they don't get rid of the Bamot because unless you're really the mamish frumest king in the universe, right? Most people they say, "Look, I got rid of Avodah Zarah," and these people have mizbachot. They're bringing to God. Why do you? But how much stress are you putting on me that I also have to get rid of these carbonates? Aren't they from? It takes a really from person to say that which looks like not from is from. Right? I mean, the from is people have to say it looks like fromkeit, that everyone is worshiping on Bamot, but it's against the Torah. And therefore, it's fake fromkeit. Right? It's wrong fromkeit. Right? Because, look, to be a from king and say I'm going to get rid of Avodah Zarah, all the from people are on your side. What's the problem with being a Chizkiyahu, getting rid of Bamot? Yeah, the Rishayim are against you because you got rid of the Avodah Zarah, and the Frum people are against you because you're getting rid of their, you know, you're telling them, it's like, right, it's like when you go on a campaign, right, that you have to daven Tefillah Bizman, and you do it in a Hasidic shtibel, right? Right? The people who don't want to wake up on time, right? Who are just bums and don't want to wake up on time are against you, and the Hasidim are against you, right? Meaning, right? You, right? It's like all the people who just, right, are lazy and don't want to wake up for Shacharis, they're like, what are you making a whole campaign that you have to get up for Shacharis? And all the Hasidim say, what do you mean? I got up at 6 in the morning, I've been saying Tehillim for 4 hours, and you're telling me I'm less from the guy who woke up 5 minutes before Shacharis, but made Sevzman Kriyishma and Sevzman Tvila, right? You're fighting everybody, right? So there's this bizarre discussion of bumos, but okay, it makes sense. It never really went away, even though it should have. So one of the differences is smicha. So smicha dechziv defnei Hashem b'samach. Shchita tzafon dechziv tzafon lefnei Hashem. But listen to what the Gemara argues, right? If I had asked you, if smicha was only about connecting the bailim to the karban, should it apply bein b'beis hamikdash bein b'bama? You would think yes. Of course, why not? It's a karban. But the Gemara says no. It's a din of mikdash, like shchita b'tzafon. Right? Look at the Gemara. Smicha dechziv lefnei Hashem b'samach. Smicha needs to be lefnei Hashem. Shchita tzafon dechziv tzafon lefnei Hashem. Mat no saviv dechziv zarakam b'zbech saviv. Tnufa dechziv v'enifa going lefnei Hashem. Hagasha dechziv v'egisha b'zbech.
In the bumos, you brought like a chatas on the bumos also?
Again, what you brought, again, this is a long, long discussion at the end of Zvachim, right? Let's not kill ourselves over it right now. Now is not the time. Which karban you could bring? No, we didn't, you, right?
So they were karbans for Ritzoy though on
bumos? Look, you could bring an ola, right? You could bring your private karbanos, right? On a bumos yachid, right? That's what you're bringing, an ola, right? Whatever, nedava, okay? No, you don't bring a.
They had to have an idea of ritzoy for this
Gemara. Yeah, but what's striking about this Gemara? What's striking about the Gemara is the Gemara is telling you that what? Right. Again, if it was only that smicha was about connecting the bailim to the karban, you would have said a vada, right? A vada you do it on, right? A bama, right? I mean, a bama doesn't even have. Like, it's not the base of Mikdash. All that there is we allow certain private, you know, whatever, right? So obviously the Bailim are connected to it, right? Meaning, you could argue if something's in the base of Mikdash, it also is part of the pomp and, you know, atmosphere of the base of Mikdash. On a Bama, the only thing there is the connection between the Bailim and Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's all there is. There's no, you know, no pomp and circumstance. There's no nothing. So you would have said, Avada, you need smicha, Elamai. The Gemara says, no, why not? Because it's like shchita and tnufa and hagasha, right? Which implies that smicha is, you know, part of the avoda.
That's not really part of the Baal's connection with the
karban. So I could have just said, okay, it's part of the avoda. Why do I come up with a weirder formulation that I said it's sof hagdasha? It's not me. Gemara in Menachos, right? Gemara in 14. Gemara says, hayoresh somech, right? The yoresh is allowed to do smicha if he is bringing his father's karban.
And it's all l'shem his father?
He is inheriting this karban, right?
So, meaning, whose karban is this?
That's the question, right? And it's somewhere in between, and that's what's going to create the ambiguity that's in the Gemara, right? So the Gemara says, Tani Reb Chiya Kamei Derava, Yoresh Eino Somech, Yoresh Eino Meimir. So, Reb Chanina clearly holds that this is primarily his father's karban, and therefore, no smicha, because it's not really the Bailam, and no Tmura, because as we saw, Tmura is a dinin, Bailim, and his father is the Miskaper. He's bringing it for his father. No, you're the Miskaper. Remember, it was the. Remember the Gemara in Tmura, right? Tmura is a dinin Miskaper. Mak, right? Pidyon is a dinin the Makdish, right? So it sounds like, according to Rabbi Chanina, that when a Yoresh brings a karban, he's bringing it on behalf of his father. His father is therefore the Miskaper, and therefore he's not the Bailim, so he neither does Smicha, nor, right, or nor can he do Tmura. So he says, but wait a second, not how Yoresh Somech, Umevi is Nezachav, Umeimir. Wait a second, but the Mishnah said the opposite, that Yoresh does Smicha, does Tmura, right, and brings Nezachim. Samarle Ifcha. Said, flip it. Amrlei lo, masnizin mani.
What does that mean? Flip it.
Right? Right? Flip it. Right?
Flip the meaning that you can't.
Yes.
Can't?
So he says, no, Rabbi Yehuda. He says, Ray says, don't worry. He says, no. Right? No, it's machlokes. He said, don't worry about it. The Mishnah is a machlokas tanaim, right? So don't flip the Mishnah. Don't say yes from yes to no, right? Just say it's a machlokas. Yes, that's always like, oh, it doesn't say it, right? Right. This is a very dangerous thing in general. You should always be very careful of things like that, right? This is like, right? Rav Bazak likes pointing this one out, right? That Rav Moshe Feinstein didn't like the Peirush of Yehuda Chassid al HaTorah, so he writes that it's a Talmud Toeh. It's a Talmud Toeh. It's not real. It's from a right mistaken student. Rav Menashe Klein really thought that the Sefer of Yehuda Chassid. Exactly. Rav Moshe is Talmud Toeh, and Rav Moshe never wrote it. Right, once you start pulling out that weapon, right, it can be used a lot, right? It can be used against you, right? If every time someone says something you don't like, you just say he never said it, right?
Can't be used against you in your life.
Really? Really? Okay.
That's pretty good, though.
So he says... Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya Yorish Somech Yorish Meimir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yorish Eino Somech Yorish Eino Meimir. Right? You have a machlokes. That's easy. So now the Gemara says, okay, why? My time at Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say he isn't Somech? So Karbanovelo Karban Aviv. Because it's his Karban and not his father's. What does Rabbi Yehuda seem to be focusing on? Which aspect of Smicha? That which we've already described, which is? Right, Smicha is a din in Bailos. And he's saying it's not really his Karban. He's bringing it for his father.
Right.
But then the Gemara has this bizarre formulation. B'yalif tchilas hekdesh misof hekdesh. And we learn the end of hekdesh from the beginning. Masov hekdesh yoresh eno somech. Av tchilas hekdesh yoresh eno meimir. Right? And then we go backwards. That smicha is the end of hekdesh. And therefore, if we see that Pesov Hekdesh, he can't do Smicha, then he can't do Tchilas Hekdesh. Why is Tmura Tchilas Hekdesh? Because you're creating a new Hekdesh. Right? V'rabanan Hamer Yamir, L'rabos Zayoresh. They say, we have a special pasuk which includes the Yoresh in Tmura. Name Hamer Yamir, Mikol Mako. But then he says, V'yalev Sov Hekdesh mitchilas Hekdesh. And once we know he can do Tchilas Hekdesh, meaning he can be Meimir, he can also do Smicha. Smicha, Matchilas Hekdesh, Yorish Meimir, Avsov Hekdesh, Yorish Somech. So Lichtenstein pointed out in this Gemara that, I mean, you could read it away. You could read it into non-existence. But this Gemara is explicit that at some level, Smicha is more than just a din in Bailim. It's in some way the yes, it's the end of the creation of Kedusha's Karban.
So why don't you need that by Mama then, or by any of the other people?
Right? And that's where you get this weird thing, is that, right, put it this way, if I only had the first Gemaras that we'd done until source seven, right, only those, I would have said it's just a din in Bailos, being Mishtayech the Bailim. If I only had the weird Gemara in Menachot Sadi Gimel, I would have said, okay, it's a din hektish akarban. If I only had the Gemaras in the middle, I would have said, okay, smicha is a din, it's seder avoda. But now we have three pieces of evidence, right? We have this bizarre Gemara that said it's so hektish. We have several Gemara that point in the direction that it's part of seder avoda. And we have all these, right, all these explicit statements that it's a din in bailos. Right? So what you get is that, right, smicha has multiple elements to it. Right, what it is clearly, right? I think Ramiro Lichtenstein set this up, if I remember correctly in the article, a bit more as a chakira. But let's isolate the elements here. Right, you could have just said that smicha is just a din in bailos. The middle sources point in direction which explain the bama that no, it's not just a din in bailos. Yes, it's a din in bailos, but It's a weird middle category. It's a din almost in the Bailim being involved in the Avoda, right? Meaning it's Seder Avoda of Bailim, right? We talked about this a possibility for Shechita, right?
Yeah.
It's not just like Ishtaychut. It's not just that I need the Bailim to be affiliated with the Karban, right? It's that I need the Bailim to be involved at some level in the Seder Avoda. Right, but then you get this bizarre Gemara Menachos, which indicates that that's not really what's going on, right? Or not the full story either. It could be that smicha in some way is sof hakdasha. What would it mean that it's sof hakdasha?
Usually we say hekdash, it's either it has kedusha or doesn't have kedusha. One says hakdasha, it's like
this. Good, so let's try to figure it out. Right, what might it mean?
And is this an extra kedusha? Is this an extra?
So that's what I wonder. Is it just an extra kedusha? I think it might be more. Right, or but if we wanted to keep the Gemara's language, right, and not say it's a guzma ba'alma, right, meaning it could just be this all guzma, right? I mean, really, just about the bailas, so factish, not really so factish, right? It's whatever, right? You could have just read that away, right?
Yeah, it seems like they mean it though.
So what would it mean, right? If it meant it, right? This is what Rav Lichtenstein develops a bit. I don't remember if I'm doing exactly the way he does, but let's try ourselves. What might it mean? What might it mean, right? If it's so factish, what might that mean?
You could say it has kedusha in terms of it's owned by the Beis HaMikdash, but not kedusha in terms of the miskaper for a specific purpose.
Right. I think that's what you're going to have to say, right? Is that, and this is something we've talked about, and that's why this is an important sugya in the context of bailos. What it might indicate is that part of Kedusha's HaKarban is, it's not, right, you could look, and we talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the year, you could have looked at Kedusha's HaKarban as separate from the Yi'ud of the Karban, meaning there's Kedusha's HaKarban, the Karban is holy, and now once it's holy, it's brought for somebody. Those are two separate things. But there's another way that it might be, and we talked about this specifically in Chatas. It could be that part of Kedusha's HaKarban is that it is Hukdash for this purpose, for this person. Right? Meaning, the designation of the Karban and its Kedusha are related. Meaning, it's not that something is holy generically and then we orient it. It's that part of what gives something its Kedusha is its orientation, is its designation, is its end goal. What?
I mean, it wasn't not hektish before.
No, it's hektish stam for the Beis HaMikdash.
Correct. But therefore, in what sense is it so hektish? Meaning, when I designate it for a person, that's not just...
It's more specific.
It's not just specification. Specification actually changes the nature of the kedusha. It is kadosh for me, so to speak. Right? It's kadosh for me, meaning the kedusha itself is oriented for my kapara, my ritzui.
Does that mean if before I do smicha, I can go and do smicha my animal?
So not necessarily, right? Right, meaning, right, just because, right, that may not be the case, right? Can't be that he can't necessarily co-opt it because, remember, I am the miskaper, right? But it could be that without me doing it, there's something lacking in kedushas of karban itself. Right, it's not really mine. It's not really mine yet. It's not really kadosh for me, to be more precise. Again, it's a very radical notion. But you do see that there are these, right, if you isolate these gemaras, you get three distinct strains. Right, the simplest way of saying smicha is just, look, there's a value under most circumstances in karbanot in which they're l'shem kapar, l'shem ritzui, for the bailim to put his hands on it and identify with it. But there's these two other elements that maybe it's also at some level chelik meha avoda, a minor form of avoda. Right? It's not really avoda. It's not ma'akev, right? And it's not for everybody, right? There are karbana that don't need it. So it's a weird type of an avoda, right? It's not even just an avoda you could do without. It's an avoda that certain karbana definitionally don't need, and certain types of bailim don't need, even when that karban for a different bailim would need it, right? That's a very weird avoda, but it's a quasi-avoda, and that's what seems to be hinted at by the fact that it's the drasha lifnei Hashem, that if you're not lifnei Hashem, it's not part of the karban. That it's take evlis mikra shchita, which you could read technically that it happens to be, or saying no, some level it's part of sefer avoda. It needs to be, you know, it's not a full avoda, but it's a quasi avoda. And then there's this bizarre third formulation that maybe it's more than that. It's not just a seder avoda. It's not even just about making the bailim part of the process. It's in some way the makiv apatish on the hektish itself, right? At some level, a karban without its designation is lacking a fundamental part of its definition, not just its definition, a part of it of its kedusha. Now, one of the weirdest things, I don't think I'm going to finish this, because now looking at this source sheet, which I took from when I did Beitza, a lot of it was now local to it, Probably one of the weirdest things in Smicha that really forces you to ask, what the heck is this thing, is the Gemara number 17. Right, the Mishnah had said that women don't have to do smicha. Yeah. But then you have this Gemara, Machlokes in Chagiga, which is Daber b'nei Yisrael v'samach. B'nei Yisrael somchen v'ein b'nos Yisrael somchos. Men do it, not women. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, b'nos Yisrael somchos v'shus. They say they're allowed to, but they don't have to. And this is already a very bizarre category, because you don't have these by most avodos, right? Most things, you need it, you don't need it. It's very weird to say women don't have to do it.
They can.
But they can.
Can you say just like I said, the coin?
So and then the Gemara gets into maybe it's not real smicha, right? The Gemara gets into a question: is it real smicha, fake smicha? Because if it's fake, right, if it's real smicha, that might be weird because they don't have to do it. So then it's hishtamshus bekadshim. So therefore, the Gemara raises the possibility that it's only akfi yodaihu, that they only like tap it on the head, but not with kol kocho. The Gemara says, why would you do that? And then the Gemara introduces what becomes very important in psak. This notion of lasos nachas ruach lanashim. They're allowed to allow certain things which might be problematic to make women happy.
Really?
Yes, yes. It is. I've given shir on this. It is one of the sugyas that bothers me most in psak. He's trying to pin down what the heck that means, right? What we're allowed to do, and according to the way certain rishonim conclude in this gemara, right? Like this is rid. The way he interprets the gemara is that in fact we are telling women to violate mila, and that's okay. Right? Like, that might actually be what's going on. Right? That's at least one way of reading this Gemara. Again, I don't want to... Fine. Right? I mean, that the Gemara doesn't seem to like this. The Gemara seems to go against this. No, it can't be. But one of the things you want to think about is what this would mean. Right? I mean, whatever you think about Smicha, how could it possibly be that you could have this category of Smicha Rishos, meaning Mamanavsha. If Bailim have to be affiliated with it, they have to be. If they don't have to be, they don't have to be. Now look, of the three formulations we had, if you think that it's number one second. If you think it's number one, I think it's the least problematic. So look, some people have to affiliate with the carbon intense way, some people don't, but if they want to, great. If it's like part of the avoda, that's very weird. Like, what does it mean you have an optional avoda?
Right?
Or an optional sof hektish. I mean, like, once you get into the more formal realms, right, this whole Gemara gets very, very weird, but there's not much you can do.
Does it come up from the Gemara that Shosh just means they can, but it's nothing?
Well, that's what, it's not totally clear, right? That you can look at the rest of the Gemara. The Gemara is quite complicated, and what exactly it wants. Okay, the rest of what's here is more local to that sugya of Smicha B'Kachim and Smicha B'Nashim, but I'll just leave you with that question. Right, is what could this possibly mean? Right, I mean, what could it mean that smicha is meaningful even when it's optional? Right, what exactly might the Gemara mean? Again, if it's simply about bilis, I understand. The other two formulations, I really do have a much more difficulty wrapping my head around what it could mean that you have an optional sof hektish and an optional sof avoda. But to be fair, I also have a problem of saying, how do you have an avoda that only applies to some people when they bring karbana, meaning it's the same karbana if a man brings it, a woman brings it, but men need to do a quasi avoda sof hektish and women don't. That is also very, very odd, and that's why at some level there may be these mixing and matching of these three definitions of smicha. But that is something that if you spend the time really, really break your head over the smicha in its entirety, you will have to figure out. This is just the beginning of the discussion. Okay.